Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The book of Romans, the 13th chapter, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now let me talk to you for a while about knowing the time. Knowing the time. Father, I pray that you speak expressly to us, that you promised us in your word that you would do so in these latter days. And so, Father, I pray that you help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. The Lord, you would speak your word into our hearts and lives, and we might live by it, we might thrive by it, God, and then we might be saved by it this night. Anoint every one of us. Thank you, God, for your goodness and grace that brought us here yet again. Help us, God, to be pleasing to you and serve you, Lord, and to be saved. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me jump right into this. Now walk with me. Stay with me. Jesus offered to each of us the promise that when he would go away after his resurrection, that he would not leave us comfortless. This gospel, this good news, simply stated, let me just bring it here at the beginning. This gospel is that God robed himself in flesh. Amen. God incarnate. Amen. Became flesh, offered himself at Calvary for us, as a sacrifice for our sins to save us. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, over sin and shame.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to be ashamed anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in sin. Amen. He shed his blood that it might be applied to our life, that we might repent of our sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus offered to each of us the promise that when he would go away after his resurrection, that he would not leave us comfortless. Look at this, please. John, the 14th chapter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That was the word of Jesus, the promise. It was his assurance that we would not be alone, that he would be with us, that he would be comforting us, being with us. He went on to say that he, his spirit, would come to us and would guide us. Look at this, please, in John 16 now, two chapters later. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us would comfort us, and it would lead us. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Simply stated, then, we are never alone. There is the ever-abiding presence of God that is within us. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, when we are filled with His Spirit, that is comforting to me. That should be comforting to you and I. That's why when we talk about the rapture, the Bible tells us to comfort one another with these words when we're talking about the rapture of the church. That's why if you want a good indicator to know when you're filled with the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Amen, there should be a certain sense of comfort from the comforter that is within us, that we are confident in our salvation, that when there is the catching away of the church, you and I will be a part of it.
Yeah.
That you and I will be a part of the rapture. There should be something comforting about when I talk about the Lord shall descend with a shout, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. That should bring a certain, I don't know, a certain leaping within us, a certain joy of the Holy Ghost to recognize that one of these days our life will leave this terra firma. We will be gone in the twinkling of an eye. And by that comforter that's within each of us, this Holy Ghost, that should bring a certain sense of peace. Amen. Somebody say amen. And so we have that peace. We have that peace, the Holy Ghost within us. We're never alone. It's the ever-abiding presence of God that's within us. And when we are filled with the Spirit, it comforts us. It guides us into all truth, showing us things to come. Do you see this? The Holy Ghost shows us things to come. That knowledge should give to us the certain assurance that when we are living for Him, being obedient to His word and His will, that we are exactly where we need to be, in the place that we need to be. Because we have the Holy Ghost. Because you have the Holy Ghost. It should give you the ever-abiding assurance that you are right where you're supposed to be, living what you are supposed to live. That the day, the environment that we're in, the spiritual climate, the current cultural conditions, a pandemic, a chaotic world, that all of it, no matter what it is not out of the mind of God in regards to our life, and that He is right there in it with us. There has been something, let me take a step back here. That's been something that I have tried to, accentuate in my life over the past year and a half, to remind me every day through what we have gone through and what we're still going through to a certain degree, that God is ever present with me. That no matter whether I'm here in this building or outside of this building, that when we used to have church online every Sunday, we didn't like it, but still, you know what I would do? I would make sure there was only one Sunday that I can recall that I got up and I just stayed in my pajamas and had church. You know what I did every Sunday? I got up just like I would on any other Sunday. I got dressed, I turned on that monitor on my iPad, and I watched the service, amen, and I stood up and I worshiped and I sang. Why? Because I felt like that God was right there with me. He's ever abiding. So many, especially as of recent, have lost footing and become inconsistent and allowed their life to be changed spiritually by present circumstances. Now, everybody stick with me on this for a minute. As of recent, especially so, within the past season, so many have lost their footing and become inconsistent, and they've allowed their life to be changed spiritually by present circumstances. When if we are really comforted, and if we're really filled with the Holy Ghost and guided by the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory, our faith should not and would not be swayed by present circumstances. When the Holy Ghost dwells within us, we should not be swayed in our faith, in our belief, in our stance, in our allegiance, because of the Holy Ghost within us. We should know and we should be fully assured by the Holy Ghost that we are in and doing His will and remain steadfast in that will of God. Now look at this. Go back to Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are to know we are to know the time. I believe this is important for the church to understand. I believe that this is important for our church to understand here. We are to know the time, to be spiritually awake and aware, to recognize the nearness of our salvation. A certain spiritual, and I'll talk more about this here in a few Sundays, but to have a spiritual sensitivity to recognize the nearness of our salvation, the nearness of the return of the Lord, the nearness of spiritual things that are happening around us. Each of us should have a certain awareness, a sensitivity to the Spirit that enables us to discern the day that we are living in. We should be keenly aware, as believers of Jesus Christ, of people who follow the Word, we should be keenly aware of the day that we are living in. This didn't sneak up on God. This should not sneak up on us. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice in as much you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. It should not be a strange thing to us that we experience the things that we experience and feel the things that we are feeling right now. It should be something that we are well aware that is around us and going on. We should have a certain awareness. We should know the time, and we should be able to negotiate the uniqueness of this time with a confident and a credible spirit. I really believe this. I believe the church should be where the spiritual pulse is being felt in the world, and not a news outlet or not a government or not some particular person. It should be the church that is setting the pace and that is recognizing the time and that is in tune with the spiritual things that are deeply happening within us and around us. Come on, these are not shallow days. I hope you're not looking at these days as shallow days. There are deep spiritual things that are at work right now. And it cannot be that the church just fluffs her pillow, if you would, and takes her ease in Zion. It should be that the church is acutely aware. We are sensitive. We are knowing. We're recognizing. We're feeling something in the Holy Ghost. Somebody lift a hand and say amen.
Amen.
We should know the time, and we should be able to negotiate this particular time without difficulty.
Yes, sir.
There are two ways that we are told to walk that we need to understand. Look at this, if you would, in Romans 13 now. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 5 and 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are to walk, or we are to live, in other words, honestly, or better translated, properly. This word honestly here is best translated as properly. We are to walk, live properly. Our walk, our way of life, our actions, our reactions are all a witness to the world right now. How we deal with what is being presented to us. I really believe this. I've prayed about this. I've thought about this. I've contemplated. I've mulled it over in my mind and my heart again and again. And I believe it tonight. I'm going to affirm it again tonight. Amen. We are to walk properly in this world. We are not left ignorant. We have been given the right way to walk or to live by the Word of God. Everything that we need to conduct our life is in the Word of God. Every aspect of our life, from our talk to our conduct to our habits, all of our life has been given a guide by the Word, and we are guided. We should be guided by the Holy Ghost to live it. It's done for. Now, understand this. We're not living this life just to have the stamp of approval of the world. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But we are living this life so that we might be sanctified by the Word of God. You believe that? Everybody, I want everybody to know in this house tonight, I love you dearly. I love you with all my heart. But I'm not living this life to gain your approval. I'm living this life for the sanctification of my life to be here, to be approved of God and hear Him say, well done. Now, is there accountability that plays into that? Without question, we are our brother's keeper to a certain degree. There's an account. We don't become a stumbling block to other people. We put our life in a pattern and a path so that somebody can see something in us that they can want to be more like Jesus. And we display the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all the things that come with it. But understand this, I'm living this life because this life that I live is for the sanctification of my life. To bring me in right standing with God. Amen. A witness to a watching world for His glory and His ultimate honor. We are to walk circumspectly, meaning, okay, so the word said we walk properly and we walk circumspectly, or in other words, we walk cautiously, not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We walk cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, because the days are evil. We are mindful. Everybody hear this, please. We are mindful of what we do and what we do not do and how we live, because all that we do as unto the Lord, the Word says. We live this life as unto the Lord. How I treat you, how I treat one another, our talk, our conduct, everything we do it as unto the Lord. We are living for a purpose that God might be glorified. Look at the scripture, please, in Romans 14. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Let not, everybody ought to memorize this verse. It's an easy verse to memorize. Let not, God always comes in at the right time on these Wednesday nights, I know. So, let not your good be evil spoken of. That was God trying to get through to somebody. I just need everybody to be aware. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Why? Because they right here, this. The world is watching. It is watching how we walk. It is watching how we react to this day and to this time that we are to know. I believe, really in all truth, let's go to the headlines for a moment. The church has never been more in the headlines than they have in the past season, if you would. It's been so prevalent. Why is that? Because I really believe that the world will look to the church for an answer. Again, the church should have the pulse of the Spirit. And so they look, how is the church going to react to this? How is the church going to react to this day? How are the people of God who know the truth, who profess the truth, how are they going to respond to this particular time that we're finding ourselves in? We should know, because the world is watching. People's lives and churches now more than ever are on display because of the availability of the internet and the magnifying glass that's being put on them as to how we obey the word that's been given to us by God. I really believe this. I've been questioned about this. I've had people contact me about this. I've talked to other pastors around this world, as a matter of fact. I had somebody reach out to me on Monday from Turkey, and I'm going to be speaking for one of their services. It's all going to be done by Zoom, or two of their services, rather. And so the world's watching. We've never been made more available. Things about the church has never been more easily had, if you would. And so can I remind the church, you and I, that's you and I, that we should know the time that we are living in. We should be well aware. There should be something within us that, because we are led and guided by the Holy Ghost within us, that we should know how we are to conduct our life. And how we're to live our life as a witness to the world that is watching and wanting an answer. They're not finding it out there. They're not finding it in things of the world. They're looking for something that is real and something that will last and something that will bring them joy and something that will give them peace. Amen. Many, now understand this, and you know this, many have their opinions about all that's happening in our world. But never can we sacrifice the living of the right word of God in our life for our opinion. No matter how much I think my opinion's right, and no matter how much, and everybody has opinions, and no matter how much we think that our opinion is the only opinion, it cannot sacrifice the word of God. No matter how strongly I feel about something, no matter how much I hear about it or talk about it, it can never take precedent over the word and the will of God. Everybody believe that tonight. Because I'm not going to be judged by my opinion. I'm not going to be judged by your opinion. I'm going to be judged by the word of God. I'm going to be judged because I have been given the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost within me should make me aware of how I'm supposed to live. A certain conviction, a certain understanding, a certain response to that understanding. Look at this, if you would, please, in Matthew 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise or wary or shrewd as serpents, harmless or innocent as doves. We follow the way of the word. When we are in a situation, we know how to react in that situation. We know how to act. And I'll remind you, the book of Acts was a book of actions. It was not a book of reactions. So the church, everybody okay on this? So the church should be a book of action. In other words, we shouldn't be constantly reacting to our surroundings. We should be a step ahead, because we know the time that we're living in, and we are acting in regards to what we know by the Spirit. And so we follow the way of the word. It's our map to follow. It's what we obey, not our opinions, not our likes, not our dislikes, not what we listen to or we don't listen to. We follow the way of the word. We follow the way of the word. We are people of the word of God. We are people of the name of God. We are people of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We follow the word. We want to know how to live. We know what the word is. We live the word. We look, do we need an answer? We go to the word. Yes. We know how to talk. We go to the word. We know what to do. We go to the word. Yes. Amen. If you would. Verse number 12. Now the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We put on the armor of light. We are that city that is set on a hill, the candle that is not to be put under a bushel. The world is looking, I can't stress this enough tonight, the world is looking for hope and light from the church, not an attitude and not arrogance. It's looking for humility. It's looking for people that will just come to them and minister to them and bind up their wounds and pour on the balm of Gilead and be that word fitly spoken. Be that one that will minister grace to the hearers. Everybody hearing this tonight? That's you and I. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to sit in the churches and judge people that come in and out of the church. We are to be the ones that just sow mercy, that just show grace, that love people and forgive them and lead them and show them Jesus and how good he is and how wonderful he is and that he's the answer that they're looking for. I really believe this tonight. The world is looking for hope. They're looking for light from the church, not darkness, not an attitude, not arrogance, not bickering, not complaining, not posting stupidity on Facebook.
Come on.
Right? The world's looking for Jesus.
Yes.
We got to stop presenting us and we got to start presenting Jesus.
Amen.
We got to stop talking about what we agree with and what we don't agree with and what we like and what we don't like and start talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is still the answer.
That's right.
Somebody clap their hands. I believe this.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not even on Facebook. So that was an innocent statement when I said the stupidity on Facebook. That's just what I hear. I don't know for sure. Could be wrong. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We know the time. We know that the way that we are to live and the witness that we are to be. Something resonates within us. Something happens within us. We sense it. We know it. We know this time. Anybody else feel this? I know the day that I'm living in. I sense the day that I am living in. There is more at work than what's being seen on the surface. There's something deep in the spirit that's happening. Amen. If you are struggling, someone hear me. If you are struggling in this particular hour, pray that God will give you wisdom to know what to do and how to respond. If you're finding it difficult to hold your tongue, if you're finding it difficult to avoid an argument or to throw your opinion in the ring when it's not necessarily even asked for or needed, if you're finding it difficult, if you're finding not necessarily even your involvement in it, but other people's involvement in it and their opinion, then pray and ask God. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom to know what to do and to how to respond or possibly not respond.
Yeah.
Amen. Because sometimes our silence puts to silence that of things that oppose God.
Yeah.
Ask Him for peace. Pray and ask God for confidence in your life and to know His word that's to be followed and the courage and the discipline and desire to ultimately obey it. To do what's right when you know what's right to do, to obey the word of God. To do what's right to do when you sense it in your spirit. And don't let your flesh get the best of you. Come on, I need to say this tonight. Don't let your flesh get the best of you. I know you got an opinion. I know you feel it. I know you want to say. I know we want to get our point across. But sometimes just let the word of God speak in love and it will win more people because we show them Jesus than we ever show them what we think. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this next verse. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We put on. Everybody say put on.
Put on.
The connotation of this verse is not one of to be a fake. We don't just put something on. We put on Christ Jesus. We are cloaked with righteousness. Amen. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We put certain things on in the spirit. We take them and they fit us perfectly. Praise is comely for the upright, the word said. What's that mean? Praise looks good on you.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant to be found praising God. You know that?
Yes.
We look our best when we are praising God.
Yes.
You want to look good this coming Sunday? It's not going to be about the suit you wear or the hairdo you've got. It's going to be about the fact that you come into this place and you lift your hands and your heart and your voice and your life and you praise God because praise is comely for the upright. That is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to praise God. When people get around us, it should be that they know that we're living a life of praise. No, you may not be shouting and jumping out in the aisles of the grocery store, but there's something about your life that speaks out what is within you. You recognize the greatness of God. It's verbalized, but it's not just verbalized. It's lived out. It's demonstrated who we are. Because praise is right for us. It looks good on us. Some years ago, everybody was saying, what would Jesus do? And really, that's not such a bad thing to emulate. But it's more than just a wristband or a phrase. It has to be a way of life that we choose. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on Jesus. We take on the attributes, the nature of Christ, because we know the time. We know the time. We know the day is short, and we know the night is coming, and the world is watching because it is now day, but the night is coming where they will not be able to see. Everybody understand this scripture now. We understand by the word of God that Christ said he worked while it was day because the night was coming when it couldn't be seen, when there was no man going to be able to work. We recognize that we are in right now the dispensation of grace. Everybody get this? We are in this day of grace. Grace is free and abundant right now, but there is coming the day when darkness will prevail over the hearts of men. We cannot give way to darkness. We cannot just accept it and allow it to override the church. Come on, if you are battling darkness, there is light for your life. If you're battling demons, then I want you to know by the power of the blood and the name of Jesus, you can be set free tonight. Yes. You don't have to go home in fear. You don't have to be intimidated. Come on, somebody with me right now. You don't have to constantly wonder. You don't have to constantly question. You can be set. I preached it here Sunday. I'm going to echo it again. You can be set free. Hallelujah. Because it's not the will of God that you live in constant darkness.
Yes.
It's not the will of God that you live in a constant state of where you're bound and you're incarcerated by your choices and by flesh and by this world. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We make intentional acts in our life. We determine that it's going to happen. We get up and we determine we're going to pray. We determine we're going to live the word of God. Oh, wish somebody here with us tonight, because we know the time. We know the day is short. We know the night is coming, and we know the world is watching. Amen. Too many are too often making more provision for the flesh than they are for that of the spirit, if we understand this correctly. Too many put on the flesh and not the spirit. We make more provision for fleshly things than we do for spiritual things. More concerned about what makes our life comfortable and getting our own way and our want instead of what God wants. Amen. Amen. We are not of that spirit. We are not of those who draw back, but we are those who walk forward. We know the time, and the time demands of us that we stay awake. Everybody stay awake. Amen. Everybody stay awake and aware and not sleep spiritually. Jesus said this, if you would please, this last verse. In patience, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Be patient. Hold on to your souls. Don't let the day or the hour deceive you. I've never seen a time where people were more impatient in the physical and in the spiritual. That's the truth. I've never seen a time where people were more impatient than they are in this particular season of life that we're finding ourselves in right now. I believe it's spiritual. I don't believe it's just fleshly. I believe there's a spiritual implication deep at work behind it. Because I believe there's something about possessing our soul patiently, taking one step at a time, keeping our eyes toward the goal, and living for God on a daily basis. Amen. Choosing the right things, living the right things. Be patient, someone. Hear me. Be patient. Hold on to your souls. Don't let the day or the hour deceive you. Know the time. Walk properly. Walk cautiously. Walk cautiously in this time. For God is soon to return, and we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Somebody pray with me right now. Father, I love you. I trust in you, and I believe in you, God, and I thank you for your word, that it saves my soul, that, God, I sense in my spirit the day that we're living, the time that we're living in, the things that are surrounding us, God. I sense it in my spirit, and I pray help our church, help everyone in this church to recognize, God, the influence that's at work around us, and, God, that we are called to be the light of the world, the city set on a hill. That, God, we are not diminished and we are not distracted or detoured by all the things that are trying to consume us right now. But I pray that the Holy Ghost within us, God, would be stirred up and we would recognize that our deliverance and our hope and our salvation is in you and in you alone. And that this world has nothing to offer us, but God, we have everything to offer the world through you. And I pray this right now that everyone in the sound of my voice would feel the power of the Holy Ghost and they would recognize the authority of the word that's been placed in their life, the Holy Ghost within them, that they have the ability to overcome, to consume the darkness, oh Lord, and to glorify your great and holy name, Jesus. And I pray this tonight. Touch every heart and every mind to understand this. Come on, would somebody stand to their feet right now and let it be that we praise God together. Come on, I praise you, God. I worship your holiness, Lord. Lord, I worship your righteousness, God. I worship who you are, your power and your authority, that you, God, have brought us out of darkness into marvelous light. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you forgive us. God, you have redeemed us. In Jesus' name, Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to God in praise and shout unto him with the voice of triumph, the Bible says. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. There is nothing greater than our God. You believe that? Come on, whatever it is you're dealing with, there is nothing and no one greater than our God. His name is Jesus. I love you. I'll see you all here Sunday in Jesus' name. Would you greet our guests tonight? So glad they're with us. Amen. And bless one another as you leave this place tonight. I love you all in Jesus' name. Amen.